Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays on Macroaggressions. We are going back to January 27th, 2021, episode number 94, Seeds of Doubt. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless fiat currency, or maybe even your retirement accounts, into tangible assets like gold and silver, go to our website, www.macroaggressions.gold. That'll take you to Tony Arterburn over at Wise Wolf, and he'll hook you right up. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a prison.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you guys all doing out there? You've got so many choices of podcasts and videos and television shows that you've chosen to spend a little bit of time with me. I very much appreciate it. I hope you will share the show. We're growing. What can I say? People are digging it, and I'm really flattered about that. And we couldn't do this without the amazing support of our sponsors. We have Honey Colony. You know, Miriam Hanane, the owner of Honey Colony and the director of the documentary Vanishing of the Bees, she's been on the show before. She owns this great company. It's a small business. They do all kinds of things. It's not all bee related, although there's plenty of bee goods here, but you can get anti-aging formulas and body care, facial care, home and garden, sexual health, lifestyle, superfood, supplements, all kinds of things. I'd check out Honey Colony if you have time, or if you're somebody in your life that has a birthday coming up, maybe check it out and see what you think. If you do, use the promo code MACRO, save yourself some money. And we are also brought to you by the fine folks at Chemical Free Body. Tim James has also been on the show. Are you noticing a pattern here? We have these great people on. They are running these small businesses that I think are doing outstanding work. And hey, let's support them. They help to support the show. We help to support them. It's a symbiotic relationship. I really love it. Go to Chemical Free Body. Check out some of their products. I bought for Christmas presents. I bought Gut Detox and Toxin Detox as a combo, bought them both, and gave them out to family members in my life. So take a look at their products. They've got Green 85 juice, things for weight loss, daily detox and energy, all kinds of things in here. They have free shipping on orders over $99 within the continental United States. So take a look at Chemical Free Body. You can use the promo code MACRO there as well. Save some money, support a small business, support people that are close to the show, and get yourself some really great products. And this is a nice segue into what we're going to focus on today, which is the food we eat and the processes that go into the food that we eat, and you know, and where it comes from and what's been done to it. And you know, it used to be that food was food. you know, everything was organic. Now you have to specify, this is organic. You got to go to Whole Foods or you got to go to Sprouts or some other place and get these kind of, you know, weird tasting health foods. Well, you know, food used to just be health food, but then we got into the mass producing of it and, you know, preservatives and packaging and putting it in cans and bottles and shipping it all over the country, all over the world in some cases. So we've done a lot of overprocessing of our food. And when you do that, it has a negative effect on the food, of course. And you don't need to watch Food Incorporated, although you probably should. It's a great documentary that shows this relationship that we have with our food. We have a very distant relationship with our food, you know? I mean, and, you know, listen, it's not for nothing. I mean, you want to go work in a slaughterhouse? Probably not. You know, so there's the relationship that we have with our animals that we grow and then later kill for food. It's very detached for most of us, myself included. I'm not a farmer, in case that wasn't pretty obvious by now. The idea of that is, you know, I know we need food. I know we need meat. I love a good cheeseburger. I know where it comes from, but I'm not the guy out there doing it. And so because I'm not the guy out there doing it, because we've grown so much as a country and as a planet, really, our food needs have changed. And the ability to process, store, truck, package, all that stuff. Every step in this supply chain, it takes longer to get from farm to table. It you add preservatives, you add chemicals. Maybe the process that you use to package it is dirty. Maybe the trucking of it is dirty. How do you quantify the, you know, if we want to get all Greta Thunberg here, how do we quantify the carbon emissions that are coming out of the trucks that are being used to truck lettuce from the Central Valley of California out to Ohio? And, you know, I mean, how do we put a price on this? How do we quantify what we're doing, how this is impacting the environment? Well, what we've seen is a change in the way we relate to food. And in fact, a change in the food at its core, at its seed. And what we have done with the introduction of genetically modified organisms, GMOs, we have thrown a grenade in this. We've thrown a grenade in the grocery store. This is a time bomb that is waiting to go off in our bodies, our children's bodies, what it is doing to our genetics, what it's doing to our brains. Hard to quantify at this point. It's not good. GMO crops are not good. How do I know this? Am I a agriculture specialist? I am not. I most definitely am not. But I'll tell you what a good indicator is, a hint that maybe the people that are in charge of your food, not the best people. Monsanto is the largest grower of genetically modified organisms. Monsanto and Bayer, they merged. I'm not sure who bought whom, but it was a merger. They were even in a sense that they both had atrocious reputations. So combined, you know, one wasn't necessarily any worse than the other, I don't think. I mean, it's like, what do you prefer? Well, on the one hand, we made Zyklon B. Interesting. All right. Or we were or IG Farben and Bayer and all these companies were involved in the war machine of World War II and all of the things that came from that. That's not a good reputation to have. Well, then there's Monsanto, and Monsanto's like, hold our beers. We were in charge of Agent Orange and napalm and DDT and all these great things, PCBs, you know, we can destroy the world just fine. Thank you very much. So we've allowed these insane companies to take over the food supply. And I thought it was appropriate to bring in these two sponsors for this show, because Honey Colony, with their emphasis on bees, and Chemical Free Body, because of their emphasis on nutrition. And as I put in my octopus book, you can't spell beets without a B, B-E-E. And the what I talked about in this one particular chapter was that you understand the concept of public relations. You know, there's the promotion of information about a product so that the public is made aware of the item that's being marketed. I have a marketing degree. I understand promoting a product to make people aware of it. The act of doing that doesn't necessarily make it a bad product. It could be. It could be really bad. But marketing it and making people aware of your product in and of itself is not a negative thing. But when it comes to public relations, you know, you're promoting information about a product. That's one part of it. But there's a second part, and it's overlooked by and large. And this is the suppression of information that could harm the marketing. So you've got public relations playing offense and defense here, basically. Offense is when they push positive news to the public. Defense is the act of trying to suppress negative news from reaching the public. So if you had been watching your news over the last, I don't know, 10 years, let's say. If you're watching your nightly news over the last 10 years, stop doing that. But if you have been, you might have noticed an unusual number of bees dying throughout the world. The media has taken some, you know, guesses as to what they think could be responsible for this unprecedented development. Of course, they won't be looking at any potential wrongdoing by any of their advertisers. So they're left speculating that maybe, you know, maybe all the bees just killed themselves because Donald Trump was president or something, you know. The real reason for the bee die-off was investigated by actual journalists, not the ones regurgitating talking points sent to them by their editor. It appears that the bees are dying off because of the poisons that the big agri companies are spraying on their crops. And nobody knows this better than Miriam Hanin, who was the director of Vanishing of the Bees. It's called colony collapse disorder. It's a new term that they invented, somebody invented, to explain away why all these bees just up and died. You know, they would truck the, you got to watch the documentary. It's really well done. It's narrated by Ellen Page. Are we still allowed? Am I dead naming her? Is that Ellen Page? Are we not? It's not. It's Elliot Page. Whatever. That Page kid narrated the movie and did a great job with it. And colony collapse disorder, as I'm watching this, and I mentioned this when we had Miriam on the show, it sounded to me like a term like sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. You've heard of SIDS? Remember SIDS? Late 80s, 90s, SIDS, sudden infant death. What happened to your baby? I don't know. My baby was totally healthy yesterday, and now my baby's dead. How'd your baby die? I don't know. It was sudden, and now my infant is dead. Oh, let's call it sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah, but what's causing it? Sudden death is causing it. Yeah, but what's causing the sudden death? well, the death is causing this. No, no. What's making it sudden? What is making it sudden? Why did it all of a sudden, why did my baby all of a sudden die? We don't know. Except they did know. They know what sudden infant death is. Sudden infant death syndrome. They know what it is. It's what happens when you take your baby to the pediatrician the day before and get them all their vaccines. And then the next day, the baby dies. That's sudden infant death syndrome. That's what they're trying to cover up. They can't say it's the vaccines. They won't say it's the vaccines. They'll say anything else but to say it's the vaccines. They'll even go so far as making shit up. It's sudden infant death syndrome. So when I hear colony collapse disorder, I think sudden infant death syndrome. Do you know why I think that? Because it's fitting the same patterns where they say, we have this colony of bees and the damn thing just collapsed. I don't know the details. Let's just say many thousands of bees per colony. And they truck the, you know, they load these boxes that have these bee colonies in, and they load them onto these trucks. They drive them to orchards and places like that that need to be pollinated. They then unpack them and they leave them all around, however they do, you know, whatever the strategy is. And then the bees go about their business, and then they come back like a month later and they collect them all up, all the bees, and they say, all right, we're moving you off somewhere else. So this is a business, the bee business of pollinating. So they're taking these 18 wheelers, loading them up with these bees, driving them, you know, literally all over the country, and put them down, drop them off at some orchard in Central Valley, California. They're going to, you know, they're going to do their thing. You come back at the end of the month, all the bees are dead. And the bee guys are going, what happened? Where are all these bees? And is this just happening to me? No. They start talking. They find, well, that's happening to me too. So a term was developed called colony collapse disorder. There's a colony. It's collapsed. This is a disorder. Let's just call it, I mean, it's the sudden infant deaths of bees. We can't figure out what it is. I mean, these bees are totally fine and now they're dead. Well, is it the pesticide? No. We can't look at that. Don't look at the pesticides. Well, why not? Pesticides are the vaccines of the big agra world, in case you didn't notice. They must be defended at all costs. There's so much money in the pesticide business. Just ask Monsanto. They're one of the largest companies in the world. This is a massive operation, just like vaccines. Vaccines are a $100 billion a year industry. You think they're going to let something like a couple babies dying screw that up? Absolutely not. They're going to create a new concept called sudden infant death syndrome, and any baby that dies is going to be put into that category. Dumb luck. Sucks to be you. Poor baby. It's a cover story. And it's just like this in the big agra. So Natural News put this out. It says, amid all the controversy over genetically modified crops and their pesticides and herbicides decimating bee populations all around the world, biotechnology behemoth Monsanto has decided to buy out one of the major international firms devoted to studying and protecting bees. According to a company announcement, BeeLogix handed over the reins to Monsanto back on September 28th, 2011. which means the gene-manipulating giant will now be able to control the flow of information and products coming from B-Logix for colony collapse disorder. And that's the last time you'll ever hear about the bees dying off. Not because they fixed the problem, but because Monsanto doesn't want you to know that they are involved in the decimation of the world's bee population. They didn't fix the problem. They didn't stop doing what they're doing. They just bought the agencies that were reporting on the negative things that Monsanto was doing. Just look, I mean, you don't need to understand how bees work, but you do need to know and be aware of the very important role bees play in the pollination and growth of the world's food. Just remember this: no bees, no food. It's pretty simple. But you know, these maniacs want to take control of the food supply. You can't threaten them by saying, hey, no bees, no food. They don't care. It's not really no bees, no food either, by the way. They have ways around it. They have ways around it. We might not have ways around it. But you don't think they would leave something like the food supply to chance, do you? These people, say what you will about them. Psychopaths, maniacs, you know, bloodthirsty criminals, Satanists. Yeah, I mean, they're all on that spectrum somewhere. But dumb? No, they're not dumb. Arrogant, maybe, but not stupid. They plan. They plan well in advance. Have you ever heard of the Svalbard Global Seed Vault? It doesn't get talked about much. I mean, you know, Norway doesn't get talked about much. Unless you're in Norway, of course. Shout out to my friend John Thor Snysen, who is from Norway. And a great dude. He probably knows about the Seed Vault. But for those of you that don't, let me give you a little backstory into what it is, where it came from, why it's important, and who put it there. I could go into a long, rambling dissertation about what I think the purpose of the Seed Vault is. But I don't need to do that. Because all I need to tell you is who paid for it. And that's all I need to say. From there, you make up your mind whether or not you think that this is a noble venture, I should say, or maybe something a little bit more nefarious. Okay, the people that are behind this are the government of Norway. No, okay, nothing inherently bad about that, except that it's a government, which I'm not a fan of, but the Norwegian government, okay. This next one will just seal it. I don't even need to go any further. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Who put the money into the Svalbard Global Seed Vault? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation put $30 million into it. The Rockefeller Foundation, Monsanto, and Syngenta. If they made a Mount Rushmore of assholes, Bill Gates Foundation, if they made a Mount Rushmore of corporate assholes, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Monsanto, and Syngenta, I would probably replace Syngenta with Lockheed Martin. because Syngenta and Monsanto is kind of redundant. But then again, Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is kind of redundant as well. But they both certainly earned their place there, as has Monsanto. So we'll leave it the way it is. We'll put Syngenta on there. People can look into them. They're an agra, bio-agra company. Just like Bayer, just like, you know, ConAgra. They built this seed vault. When did they build it? They built it in 2008 in Norway in a place called Spitsbergen. It's an island. It's in the Arctic Circle. I mean, it's only like 1,100 kilometers from the North Pole. I mean, it's up there. The area in which they built it is like a little island, and then it goes up a mountain. So the actual seed vault is 400 feet above sea level. And the seed storage area is just drilled 300 feet inside this gigantic mountain. So you go up 400 feet from the ocean, then you go in 300 feet inside the mountain, and you build out this place. I mean, let's be honest. It's probably next to Bill Gates's secret lair. And, you know, this is, I think, where you build it if you're looking to, like, survive the end of the world or whatever. The area is just the area in general around the seed vault. It ranges temperatures from -3 degrees Celsius to +4 degrees Celsius. Always. It's always in that range. So we're not talking about a big swing in terms of temperature, but inside the seed storage area, it's always kept at -18 degrees Celsius. So it's cold as fuck in there. Okay. And this is where they keep the real seeds, not the GMO stuff. They keep that shit at Monsanto and Syngenta's factories somewhere. No. What they've done is they've created a new version of food, genetically modified organisms, GMO, GM food, genetically modified food. You can't patent tomato seeds. This is what it boils down to. It's not all about money. It's partially about money. It's partially about food production, and it's partially about controlling the food supply. But the money component to it. See, you cannot patent something that's natural, which is why you can't patent tomato seeds, which is why you can't patent, you know, a lot of these things. But if you take a tomato and you make genetic adjustments to it, it no longer technically becomes a tomato. It becomes a genetically modified tomato, which isn't a tomato, which can be patented. So you just make your this. They're making Chinese knockoff versions of food that can be patented. They're doing like the exact opposite the Chinese do, right? The Chinese take patented things, make knockoffs, and sell it, you know, and sell it out the back door. This is taking real food, adjusting it, altering it, genetically modifying it so that it becomes like a weird cousin of a tomato, but not an actual tomato. And then you go to the patent office and say, I'm not patenting a seed on tomato. I'm patenting a seed on a super tomato. And they go, oh, well, that's different. Well, did that come from nature? And you go, no. I came from the factory. And I have guys working on it. Like guys whose business cards say DR period on it, you know, like smart guys. And we've changed it. We want to patent it. And so they did, and they have. So Monsanto and Syngenta and these agri companies make a goddamn fortune on their seeds. Now, with tomato seeds, like regular tomato seeds or corn or whatever, all actual food, you know, when you're done planting it, it gives you more seeds and you can replant. You can keep this cycle going and going. Yeah, you've got crop rotation and stuff like that. You want to make sure the soil, you know, you don't abuse the soil. But theoretically, you can continue with this cycle of planting things. Oh, but not the Monsanto seeds. They're Terminator seeds. They're literally called Terminator seeds. And they blow themselves up after one round. So you have to buy new seeds every year. You don't get to recycle. You don't get to use, you know, your seeds over and over again. You don't get to plant tomatoes, have them grow, you know, plant tomato seeds, have them grow into tomatoes, then, you know, do nothing and then just try and figure it out again. You could recycle them. You could take the seeds that just you just grew and use them to grow more. Can't do that with these Terminator seeds. So because it's a business and they don't want you to have any sort of, you know, natural right. They don't want you to have any, they don't want you to have anything for free. So they have created these genetically modified seeds that only bloom once and then fizzle out. That's got to be bad for you, you know? So they build this seed vault. Bill Gates, Rockefellers, Monsanto, Syngenta, the government of Norway. Sounds like the beginning of a really bad joke. Bill Gates, Rockefeller Foundation, and Monsanto walk into a bar. They built the seed vault to hold the real seeds in case this experiment that they're conducting on the planet goes awry. They need to know where there's actual seeds. So, what's in this vault? Well, their holdings include more than 5,000 different plant species. There's 150,000 different samples of wheat and rice. There's 80,000 samples of barley. There's 50,000 samples of sorghum, 40,000 samples of phaseolus beans. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I don't even know what it is. But there's 40,000 samples of it. So it must be important. 35,000 samples of maize. 30,000 samples of cowpea. Not to be confused with cow piss, which is something totally separate. It's the Bill Gates Foundation. They probably have cow piss there too, with knowing those maniacs. 25,000 samples of soybeans. 20,000 samples of potatoes, of peanuts, of oat, and of rye as well. So they're stocked up. They are well stocked up at this place in case shit hits the fan and they need these seeds. They think that they can use this to, well, who knows? They never really said what they plan to use this for. In my head, it goes to, oh, if everything goes awry or we get hit by an asteroid or these GMOs run rampant on the planet and take over everything and everybody dies from eating them, you can at least have a batch of the real stuff that you can then plant later and bring the planet back to the way it used to be, theoretically. But I don't think that maybe that's what they're thinking. I think that they're thinking, this is the food we'll eat. The serfs will eat Soylent Green. They'll eat GMO Soylent Green. We don't even give them the non-GMO Soylent Green. That goes to the workers in the FEMA camps. They're going to need their strength when they're making, when they're turning big rocks into little rocks for the rest of their life with sledgehammers, because they posted something on Twitter that went against community standards, called out the government. 2/3 of the seeds are from international research centers like Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research. The acronym is CGIAR. It looks, it's got two letters transposed. Otherwise, the acronym would be CIGAR. C-G-I-A-R. Stands for Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research. Well, that sounds like a what you'd need. You want a group of people or get a bunch of consultants together internationally to talk about agricultural research. Two-thirds of the seeds come from them. I bet these are fine, upstanding people. Let's see. Who started this CGIA? The Rockefellers. Did you think I was going to say somebody else? Of course the Rockefellers are behind this. And I find it ironic that the acronym is almost CIGAR, because you can sort of like envision them sitting around smoking cigars, lighting cigars with $100 bills going, we're really going to fuck the people now. Watch them all starve to death. We've got all the seeds. Unless you guys want to go to Norway and climb your way up some mountain and bury yourself 300 feet into a mountain and crack open the code and bust the door open and find all these seeds and that are, you know, sitting there in 18 degrees Celsius, you know, just waiting for you to get in there with your backpack, fill it up with some soybean seeds and some phaseolus bean seeds, whatever the fuck those are. So, I mean, I'm making light of this, but it's serious. It's a serious situation here. The total capacity of this seed vault, it holds about 4.5 million seed ascensions, and those are like seed groupings. It's got a lot of room. And this was started by, it's what they call Crop Trust. Crop Trust was behind this seed vault. It was established by this CGIAR group, the Rockefeller funded. Crop Trust was founded by this Rockefeller International Agricultural Research Group and the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. So it's like, it's double Rockefellers here. It's UN and it's the CIGAR group. They're the ones that were behind Crop Trust, which was behind the seed vault. That's Crop Trust is the group that includes the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, Monsanto. It's the organizational group that's running this. So they, you know what they call themselves? They call themselves a gene bank. G-E-N-E, that sort of gene. Gene bank. And if there's one thing I know, the Rockefellers love banks. So, of course, it's a gene bank. It's the mean gene bank. So we know that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is like, they're like Rockefeller Foundation Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. You know, they're the newer version of it. They're doing the same stuff. There's a little, there's some overlap, you know, the Rockefellers and the Gates family, long, long ties, decades long ties to one another. You can find the pictures of Bill Gates Sr. hanging out with David Rockefeller, hanging out with Anthony Fauci, hanging out with George Soros. They're all in the picture together. You've seen the picture. When they're not building seed vaults in Norway to house the real food for them, they're busy investing in companies that are making fake food for us. You ever hear of Beyond Meat or Impossible Foods? Oh, it's Beyond Meat, all right. And it's an impossible food. It's impossible that you won't get spontaneous diarrhea if you eat this stuff. That's what it's impossible about. Beyond Meat. That'll be the last thing going through your head as you're throwing up your fake meat into the toilet. In all seriousness, though, the meatless meat segment, which sounds like I'm making that up, that there's actually an industry of meatless meat, but there is, and it's a big one. And God, you know, you can sort of tell that there's a grift when they bring in celebrity investors, you know, because that always goes so well. I just think of Fyre Festival when I think of celebrity investments, investors and endorsements and stuff like that. But anyway, these new meatless meat patties that are rolling out, you know, Burger King's Impossible Burger and the, you know, you're starting to see it show up in Starbucks and they're like, you know, like meatless, the sausage is fake meat. And they're like, oh, it's good for the planet. It's saving the planet. A, it's not saving jack shit. Or especially the planet. It's not. And B, it's not good for you. I'll tell you why. Burger King's Impossible Burger has 44 micrograms of phytogestrone. It's a type of estrogen. Phytogestrogen. Phytogestrone. The Impossible Burger, it doesn't matter what the name is. It has 44 milligrams of that in the Impossible Burger. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that a lot? Is that a little? Well, let's put it in comparison to what's in a traditional Whopper from Burger King. A traditional Whopper does not have 44 milligrams, I should say. I think I said micrograms. Milligrams of phytoestrogen. The regular Whopper has 2.5 nanograms of estrogen in it. You go, nanograms, milligrams. Well, what are we talking about here? Is that that's less or more? A traditional Whopper has less estrogen in it than the fake Impossible Burger. And you would say, oh, okay, well, I guess that's a good thing. I mean, I don't really care one way or the other, but maybe I don't want to have, you know, you hear the stories of soy boys and everything, and then you see Antifa and they can't even throw their Molotov cocktails over arm, you know, they have to sort of like throw them under arm. It's pretty sad. And you start to think, well, maybe they're just too much estrogen in their diet. And you go, well, okay, so what is the difference between this regular Whopper and Impossible Burger? Is it that much of a difference? Well, yeah, when you do the math, the Impossible Burger has 18 million times more estrogen in it. I'm going to say that number again because you are probably thinking that I've made a colossal mistake. The Impossible Burger has 18 million times more estrogen in it than a regular Whopper. Almost the same calories. It's not like it's a diet patty or anything. Impossible Burger, 630 calories. Regular Whopper, 660 calories. So what are we talking about? 5%? Big hairy deal. 5% less calories? You have 18 million times more estrogen. I'm not even kidding when I say that if there's somebody in your life, if there's a man in your life that suddenly has a big rack of moobs, you might want to ask that gentleman if they are partaking of Impossible Burgers from Burger King or any of these things, these impossible food sources, because they might want to cut down on the estrogen or join Antifa, one or the other. Take your pick. Impossible Foods is involved in this. Beyond Meat is involved in this. Let's start with Beyond Meat. Well, you know what? No, let's start with, let's stay with Impossible Foods since we've been talking about the Burger King Impossible Burger and all that stuff. Impossible Foods. Hey, guess what? They have celebrity endorsers. Like a who's who of Satanists from MTV, to be honest with you. Jay-Z, Katy Perry, Jaden Smith, Trevor Noah, and Serena Williams. Okay. So am I supposed to be excited about this? Am I supposed to buy stock because Trevor Noah is an investor in this? By the way, let me know the next time Trevor Noah is funny. That guy is really bad at his job. Anyway, this Impossible Foods features soy leg hemoglobin, which makes it seem like the meat is bloody. Which is weird, but I guess I understand it because you're trying to go for, you know, before it's cooked, well, really, maybe even while it's cooked, trying to give it that look of meat. You know, you get meat, like if you've got ground beef, something, you pull it out of the packaging that comes in, there's a little bit of redness, a little bit of, you know, well, it's a little bloody. Let's just be honest. So they're trying to replicate that. So they've created this soy leg hemoglobin, which makes the meat seem bloody. And it comes from GMO soy that's made by Monsanto. So, and just on a side note, since 1996, Argentina, the country in South America, has cleared 25% of its native forest in order to grow GMO soybeans for this. So if you're wondering, like, what do I do about this? These meatless burgers, impossible burger from Burger King. Okay, 18 million times more estrogen. It has soy leg hemoglobin, which is fake to make the meat look bloody when it actually isn't. And that substance comes from GMO soy that is made by Monsanto. No, thank you. I'll pass. Even though it's tempting that Serena Williams is an investor. I've met Serena Williams. She's totally nice, by the way, but maybe has multiple personalities, but that's for another day. Yeah, not interested. But what about Beyond Meat? Well, their investor group doesn't look much better. Let's be honest. It is led by Bill Gates. What a surprise. You know that Bill Gates is the largest single shareholder of Monsanto stock, right? Well, I should say he was. I can't speak to whether or not he is currently at this actual moment the largest shareholder of Monsanto stock. I do remember seeing that I think he divested from some of his Monsanto stock. It certainly wasn't due to ethical reasons. It might have just been a bad investment for him or whatever. But anyway, he was the biggest single shareholder of Monsanto. So there's that. So yeah, so he's getting in the GMO seed business. He's getting in the seed vault business because he's the one that paid for it. To hide away the real seeds from you. So you don't get those seeds. You don't get real food anymore. You get jack shit. You get impossible whoppers with fake blood made from GMO soy seeds that came from Monsanto. The seeds that don't go in the seed vault. They don't want those things contaminating all the actual seeds. Those things are poisonous. Okay, so Beyond Meat's investors. I mean, I could stop with Bill Gates because that's really all you need to hear. But Leonardo DiCaprio, the United Nations globalist, you know, fuck doll, Leonardo DiCaprio. McDonald's CEO, he's an investor. I know Jack Dorsey gets all the pub for sort of being the face of Twitter, but the real people who run Twitter, Biz Stone and Ev Williams, they're the real shareholders. They fucking booted Dorsey out a while ago when he started Square and then brought him back, but that's beside the point. But Biz Stone and Ev Williams are big investors in Beyond Meat. Now, to be fair, they're probably just like soy boy vegetarian guys that are like, oh, I just want to get, you know, I don't want the meat and it's good for the environment. I doubt they know the, I don't know. Maybe they do. I don't. Who knows? Maybe they're just looking to make some money. But this is who's involved in the financing of this. So Beyond Meat has a non-GMO option. That's nice, isn't it? And it sounds delicious. I mean, I know you're going to agree with me. What is their non-GMO meat option made out of? Well, it's made with pea. P-E-A, not P-E-E. Once again, might be made with actual pea. I don't know. I'm not trying to... Let's just assume it's made with both types of pea. P-E-A and actual pea. It's made with mung, which I'll be 100% frank with you guys. I don't know what mung is. Sounds like dung. Sounds too much like dung. So it's made with pea and mung, which sounds like code words for pea and dung. But I don't know. And a third thing that doesn't sound so bad is rice protein. Okay, fine. But it's all made in a laboratory. Your Beyond Meat burger of pea, mung, rice protein. I can smell it grilling now. 4th of July, around the corner, starving. Can't wait to get me one of those Beyond Meat mung burgers. No. Don't get the Beyond Meat burger. Get the Impossible Burger. I want it to look like it's actually bleeding all over me. Here's the thing. All of these meats, air quotes around that, are considered to be not just processed food, but in a category called ultra processed. And by being ultra processed, you are significantly changing the food from its original state. It's a massive understatement to say that. But you know what processed foods cause? They cause overeating and weight gain. Isn't that interesting? Because most people will probably consider a Beyond Meat form of burger or sausage or whatever they're making, or Impossible Foods, meat and sausage, to go through the grocery store, go to the meat aisle, meat section, you know, and go, what are my options? Impossible Foods, Beyond Meat. It's not like these are fringe items. Beyond Meat is found in 32,000 grocery stores. I mean, it's everywhere in the United States, at least. So you go there and you make this assumption. Oh, it's not beef. It's not actual meat. Therefore, it's not a cow that I had to murder, which is good. It's not eating. Oh, it's not farting, which Greta Thunberg said is destroying the atmosphere. And she's a genius, so she should know. It doesn't need to be, you know, we're not getting this meat from a slaughterhouse. It doesn't have this carbon footprint. It doesn't. It's, look at all these. It's good for you. It's less cow. It's healthy. Look, it's none of those things. It's an ultra-processed food, which causes overeating and weight gain. This shit will make you fat. And like I mentioned earlier with the burgers, the difference in calories from a regular Whopper at 660 to an Impossible Burger at 630 is negligible. It's 5%. So this isn't a diet alternative. It's not some great substitute. It's not for weight loss. It's not for health. It's just not meat. There are zero health benefits to eating plant-based meat. There's zero. In fact, not only are there zero benefits to it, you get the CEO of Whole Foods, you know, sort of take him for what you will, saying we sell it, but we don't endorse it, you know? He said, I feel like you should get you should eat real food, not ultra processed food. He's the one that brought up the processing in an interview. He's the one that said, it's not just processed, it's ultra processed. I mean, well, it's a classification too, but, And there's, it's not just an assumption that you're eating something healthy for you or that you're saving the planet from cow farts. A study was released that says that switching from beef to plant-based alternatives would be like taking 12 million cars off the road. Wow. Okay, so there's no scientific or health reasons. There's no calorie reasons. There's clearly not an estrogen reason to eat this stuff. But if everybody did this and we switched over from beef to plant-based alternatives, it'd be like taking 12 million cars off the road. I mean, that's pretty good, right? 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 Who paid for the study? Beyond Meat paid for the study. Oops. Never mind. The 12 million cars is bullshit. The study came from Beyond Meat, who paid for it. This is vegan junk food. Let's not pretend like it's something that it isn't. Okay. It's not getting getting cars off the road. It's not better for you from a health standpoint. It's not less calories. It's not full of vitamins. It's not backed by investors with a conscience. It's ultra-processed food with an insane, and I mean insane, amount of estrogen in it. Boy, it's like they're trying to turn all the men into women, aren't they? Bill Gates. It's Frankenfood. It's not good for you. They're lying to you in the ads. They're lying to you in their marketing. They're omitting components of what this stuff actually is. They're not talking to you about the 44 milligrams or micrograms or of phytoestrogen compared to 2.5 nanograms of estrogen. They're not mentioning that. That's not going on the big label. They're going to hide behind their investors and say, look, Leonardo DiCaprio likes this stuff and he can have whatever he wants, including hot chicks. And he chooses to eat this because he cares about the environment so much. He wins all these United Nations. Look, Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And I might be wrong about that. He may be well-versed in what the fuck he's doing. But he needs to wake up to this. This United Nations agenda that he's out there pushing and everything. No good. Beyond Meat. I'm an investor in Beyond Meat. Look, I get it. You probably have your accountant putting money in all sorts of things. And you get approached by these companies as, hey, listen, man, before we go public, We're looking for a little star power here. You want to put some money in, maybe put in a little bit of money. We give you a little bit, like an exaggerated amount of stock, give you some pre-IPO shares. Whatever. We want to be able to say that you're investors in this. Well, that works two ways. When you release your investor list and I see Bill Gates and Leonardo DiCaprio on it, I want nothing to do with this project. When I see Jay-Z, Katy Perry, Trevor Noah, Jaden Smith, and Serena Williams involved in Impossible Foods, I think, no, I'm good. I'd rather take my money and throw it in a wishing well than invest it with Jay fucking Z. Okay? Not interested. Do what thou wilt somewhere else, dude. You big phony. You big fake rapper. Satanist, crack dealer, scumbag with your tranced out wife. You ever find that? You ever see that video of them sitting courtside? I think at a Knicks game, might have been Brooklyn. I'm not sure. Halftime, Beyonce is just out in outer space in like a full trance. You got to find it. It's great. This stuff is poisonous, man. It's poison. You know, it's super devious that they're doing this. They're trying to disguise it as being a savior for you and your family. They want you to eat this. They want your kids to eat this stuff. They want you eating Soylent Green eventually. This is the incremental move towards that. Don't fall for the ad campaign. Talk to your friends about this. You know, we always have a very difficult time trying to connect with our friends about some of this information that we find out about that doesn't really go mainstream. And then we bring it up to our friends and they go, get the fuck out of here with that. That's crazy. I've never heard that. And it's like, no. Hey, just because you don't know it doesn't mean it isn't true. I know something you don't know. Guess what? You know something I don't know as well. But in this particular instance, if you want to get through to your friends, if you want to get through to your friends in a way that they can, that makes sense to them in their world. You want to talk about New World Order and all that stuff. No, people check out. They don't know what you're talking about. They can't envision that. If you're talking to an American, they can envision what Burger King is, and they know what a Whopper is. Just tell them that Impossible Whopper has 18 million times more estrogen than a regular Whopper. And watch their head. First of all, watch them say, that's wrong, dude. You don't know what you're talking about. Then tell them to get their phone out, open it up, and search 18 million times estrogen Burger King and see what comes up. Checkmate, bitches. We're not making this stuff up. I wouldn't, if I was making this up, I certainly wouldn't say 18 million times more estrogen, because that sounds like you're making it up. I would say 15,000 times more estrogen, which would still scare the shit out of me. I certainly wouldn't say 18 million times more estrogen, because that sounds like something you make up when you're losing an argument. But that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, unless you're trying to transition. You know, Burger King's new ad campaign, come in and get your Impossible Burger and then pick whatever gender you want. God knows it's going to change after you eat one of these things. Oh, shit. Hey, listen, if you guys like this show, if you're having fun with it, if you think it's something that your friends or family might be interested in, or if you just want to torture people close to you, send them this episode, please. We're not going to get any sort of love from the algos. They hate us, which means we're doing something right. And once again, please consider supporting our sponsors. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to them too. They're small business struggling. We like to do that. Check out chemicalfreebody.com. Check out honeycolony.com. Promo codes for both of those are macro. I appreciate your support. Follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions and have a fantastic day.